for World Radio. I'm Kent Covington. Baby formula were the two biggest buzzwords on Capitol Hill Thursday. House lawmakers grilled the head of the FDA over a nationwide formula shortage. Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin told FDA Commissioner Robert Califf,
"One problem that I've seen over and over with the FDA in my 10 years here is you guys aren't good at communicating."
Members of a House panel said the FDA should have stepped in earlier to address problems at a baby formula plant in Michigan. The Abbott Nutrition Facility in Sturgis is the biggest formula plant in the country. It's been closed for months due to contamination problems, and that closure has played a major role in the shortage. Califf told lawmakers, however, that it could be up and running soon.
"I think we are on track to get open within the next week to 2 weeks, most likely at the outer bound 2 weeks."
But even after Abbott flips the switch at the plant, the company said it could take 2 months before new formula begins arriving in stores. Meantime, lawmakers in the Senate approved a bill aimed at easing the baby formula shortage for families receiving government assistance through the WIC program. The bill would allow the Department of Agriculture to waive certain rules so that participants can buy whatever brand is available. In Mariupol, hundreds more Ukrainian fighters walked out of a bombed-out steel plant with their hands up, surrendering after defying Russian troops for weeks. World's Kristen Flavin reports.
Thousands of Ukrainian troops made their final stand inside the plant after holding out for as long as possible. In the end, they were forced to choose between surrender or certain death. The Kremlin says more than 1,700 Ukrainian troops have now surrendered. The Red Cross registered hundreds of the soldiers as prisoners of war in hopes of ensuring their humane treatment under the Geneva Conventions. Russian forces transported at least some of the Ukrainian troops to a former penal colony in territory controlled by the Moscow-backed separatists. Others were reportedly hospitalized. Meanwhile, a 21-year-old Russian soldier who executed an unarmed Ukrainian civilian asked the victim's widow to forgive him on Thursday. The Russian army sergeant pleaded guilty this week in the first war crimes trial of a Russian soldier since the start of the war. Reporting for World, I'm Kristen Flavin.
President Biden walked to a White House Rose Garden appearance shoulder to shoulder with Swedish Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson and President Sauli Niinistö of Finland. Biden hosted the leaders Thursday as the countries apply for membership in the NATO alliance, and he voiced the, quote, strong support of the United States.
"For the applications of two great democracies and two close, highly capable partners to join the strongest, most powerful defensive alliance in the history of the world."
President Biden rejected Turkey's opposition, insisting that the two countries, quote, meet every NATO requirement and then some. For a new member to join, all 30 existing NATO members must agree. U.S. diplomats are trying to help mediate talks between Turkey and the two Nordic countries in hopes of resolving Turkey's concerns. Hours later, President Biden boarded Air Force One en route to South Korea. This is his first trip to Asia as president. He'll also meet with leaders in Japan. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the trip will put Biden's Indo-Pacific strategy on full display.
"It will show that the United States can at once lead the free world in responding to Russia's war in Ukraine and at the same time chart a course for effective, principled American leadership and engagement in a region that will define much of the future of the 21st century."
The leaders will discuss threats from North Korea, but also from China. Former White House Asia advisor Michael Green said Russia's invasion of Ukraine and China's aggressive behavior in the Indo-Pacific region are uniting U.S. allies like never before.
"For the first time, really, in the post-war era, our allies in Europe and our allies in Asia are coming together and recognizing that we all have something at stake in a global challenge to democracies from authoritarian states."
Biden's visit will include meetings with the newly elected South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. Their talks will also touch on trade and global supply chain concerns. A grand jury in New York handed down an indictment Thursday against the white man accused of gunning down 10 black people at a supermarket in Buffalo. World's Josh Schumacher has that story.
Peyton Gendron wore an orange jumpsuit and shackles in a New York courtroom. As authorities let him out, someone shouted, "Peyton, you're a coward," from the courtroom gallery. The 18-year-old will remain behind bars without bail. A grand jury indicted him on a single count of first-degree murder that covers all 10 deaths in the shooting in Buffalo on Saturday. In his first court appearance, his lawyer entered a not guilty plea on his behalf. Authorities may still bring hate crime and terrorism charges against Gendron. Shortly before the attack, Gendron allegedly posted hundreds of pages of writing online that detailed a fascination with white supremacist ideology. 11 of the 13 people shot during the attack were black. Reporting for World, I'm Josh Schumacher.
And I'm Kent Covington. For more top news along with features and commentary, visit us online at wng.org.